remind you that until midnight tonight, we have the totius cotius indulgences, and that you make the best of it by saying these prayers, as you know how to say them, in the way and places that you know how where to go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. That you may be a new dough. My beloved people, first of all this morning, I certainly wish to welcome all of you. And I welcome the visitors. I'm glad you came. And I ask God to bless each and every one of you, that you may come to know what it means to be with him on Easter Day. This is no small occasion. I think sometimes as we move about life and we hear such expressions as he died for the remission of sins, he died that I may be saved, and other similar expressions. And we do not stop and concentrate to think of just exactly what these expressions really refer to. We take them so for granted, and they become rather meaningless to us as we move about life and as we try to look and reflect on what is being said. We probably think no more of the expression of he died for the remission of sins, no more than we would think of saying going to confession and saying I'm sorry, and the priest giving us absolution, and it is all cut and dried and done and over with. And it is of no greater significance or importance than just that. We seem to fail to remember of just exactly what it meant for Adam and Eve to have committed the first sin. When the first sin was committed by Adam and Eve, the entire intention of Almighty God was frustrated. And whereas he made us for the solitary purpose of being with him forever in heaven, that was the only reason why you and I are here today at this moment, to be with God for all eternity. Adam and Eve slammed the doors shut, and the entire effort was frustrated. It was no longer possible for any of us to have reached our purpose. If just one of us, just one, not two, but if just one of us had been able to squeeze through the gate, last Friday would have been totally unnecessary. But not a single one of us could squeeze through that gate. And as a consequence, we would not have been able to save our immortal souls. and we would have suffered forever. Remember the other day I made a little example, and some of you heard it for the first time. I repeat it this morning for a purpose of refreshing our memory, and for those who did not hear it, that they will hear it for the first time. As I said the other day, I'm speaking of eternity right now. I said the other day, as we are approaching the great and mysterious wonder of the millennium, and everybody is excited about it, and we're counting all the shopping days that are left between now and then. The millennium represents 2,000 years since the birth of our blessed Lord. Now let us look at eternity for a moment. Let us suppose this is possible, that this is possible. Let us suppose that every 1,000 years, a little sparrow will go to the great Atlantic Ocean and pick up one drop of water and carry it away. When he dries up, the Atlantic Ocean, by that process, eternity will just be beginning. How many trips has that sparrow made since the birth of Christ, or will make by the time two more years go by? How many trips will he have made? Two trips. Did you understand what I said? Two trips. Understand that clearly. Now, an eternity without God, what would that be like? An eternity in hell, what would that be like? So let us on this day come to an honest adjustment of our attitude as we try to work out our eternal salvation and be with Almighty God for these endless years. I know sometimes it may become easy for us to become discouraged as we see our weaknesses, as we see our sinfulness, as we see the conditions of the world, as we see the conditions in the church, as we see how everything is topsy-turvy, topsy-turvy, topsy-turvy. And we wonder, is it worth it? Our lives, at most, might be 60, 70, 80, or more years on this earth, into which we have deposited everything, everything that we know, everything that we have, everything that we do, everything that we want. Everything is deposited in those 50, 60, 70 years. When we look at those 50 or 60 or 70 years, when compared just for one millennium, look what a fragment of a part of one millennium those few years are. And since the last millennium, Look how many generations have gone over the face of this earth. People who were as active and as strong and as important and as vibrating as you and I. They came, they're gone. They came and they're gone. We have come and we shall be gone just like they. And if they put, if no more than the time that it took to take those two drops of water out of the Atlantic Ocean in exchange for what they want out of this life, what a poor, poor piece of economy that would be. When Christ died on the cross last Friday, when everything seemed to have come to an end, and he said, it is finished, it is over, it is consummated, and he bowed his head and he died. That's when it all began for us. And no matter how long it takes for that sparrow to empty the Atlantic Ocean, or for that matter to empty all of the oceans, for the amount of time it takes, we, being in the presence of God, to fulfill our destiny, to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill our love. How absolutely wonderful. There is not, I am totally incapable of finding a word large enough, a word strong enough to be able to describe that. And at the same time, if we fail, if we let Satan win over us, and to subdue us, and to conquer us, and to take us and capture us, and have us be with him for all eternity, look what it would be even after the sparrow empties all of the oceans. I cannot find a word that would adequately describe that. Neither can you. And so we have to put first things first, and that these occasions, Easter, Christmas, Annunciation, whatever the occasion, Christmas and Easter in particular, when we reach these feasts, that they are not just simply civic holidays. When our civic leaders of past years, good, bad, and indifferent, died, and we call upon them, it's just a memorial service, no more, no less. But when we call upon this one leader, it puts us in union, direct union, with the Heavenly Father, as much as we can be united to him here and now on this earth. So when we are asked to do the little things, and they are indeed trivial, the most difficult, the most important thing, the most inconvenient thing, the most painful thing that you can be asked to do in order to save your immortal soul. Are you going to put that on the scale of the balance with those two drops of water that the sparrow has consumed. Some of us might be tempted to do that, and that would be dreadful economy, spiritual economy. That would be spiritual bankruptcy. For the sake, now it took the sparrow 1,000 years to go after one drop of water. Whereas it takes us a fraction of a few seconds to choose something other than God Himself. How long did it take Adam to take a bite out of an apple? How long did it take him to do that? And just because that man took one bite out of one apple, against the will of God, of course, look what it caused. And even that, if we take all of this that has happened since the moment of Adam until now and put it all together in one bag, if we could, that bag would not be as heavy as the indescribable pains of hell that we would have to endure way beyond, way, way, way beyond the emptying of all the oceans on the earth. Last Friday, he made it possible for us to go around this, and he asked us, or rather, he showed us what to do. But look how much courage it takes for us to refuse to take just one bite out of one apple. My beloved people, to speak of Christ and the things that pertain to Christ is something that is totally beyond our capacity to understand. And yet we are required to understand it. We're not here this morning because of the pretty decorations, or because of the pretty church, or the music, or whatever, the singing. We're not here for that at all. Let us not fool ourselves. And we have got to do more than just, if nothing else, to fulfill a small obligation to be here this morning. The obligation to be here this morning is small indeed. Important, but small. It is beyond an obligation. It is that obligation for us as children of God to stand up undaunted, strong, courageous, determined, committed, honest, and sincere and genuine to stand up and look at God eye to eye, face to face, and say, I love you. That's all we have to do. And if we can say that with all of the genuineness that is required of us in so saying, we can go out like St. Augustine and do anything we want to. St. Augustine says, if you love God, you can do anything you want to. If you can, because your love will not, our love, I always keep forgetting us, our love will not permit us to hurt the one we love so much. May you be blessed. May you be given every grace, every single solitary grace that he had in the palm of his hand when he was hanging on that cross. And when he looked at St. John, may we say, or may he say to us, behold your mother. And may he say further, behold your father. If you will please kneel, I will give you a very special blessing.